Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bikini and the Brain podcast. This is Ashley and Adam coming at you, and we have a pretty fire topic for you guys today on this podcast episode. And we're going to talk about an eating disorder that not many people know much about. And actually, it's not officially recognized as an eating disorder, but I do feel like, especially in this industry, a lot of people might suffer from this.
Yeah. And so what Ashley is talking about, we've kind of both been looking at it a little bit, is called orthorexia. And basically it's an eating disorder of people being hyper-focused on the quality of foods that they're eating, you know, and always being extremely worried about eating anything else. So, And I think it's just a relevant topic because I feel like a lot of people that I work with and a lot of people in our industry actually go through this where they're like so clean and so perfect in their prep that it's like eating anything else at all besides like the perfect prep food or quote unquote clean foods would be just so detrimental to their physique, and they would just be fat the next day if they ate one thing or something, that type of thing. So our industry in general attracts like the most hyper focused, body focused people. And so with that, it attracts a lot of different things. People who at one point were anorexic, bulimic, all these different things, and they found fitness to be their kind of like their saving grace in the way to them to take that hyper focus and turn it into a positive thing. So our industry, I would say a lot of people suffer from something related, like some type of food related type of mindset, really. And I would put myself in that category too, because I've been focused on the way that I look, so focused on the way that I look since I was like 12 years old. You know, I've been dieting since I was like 12 years old, and it's like, to, you know, for me it's normal, but for my friends growing up when I was always crazy. And so, I think that this is good to talk about, because there's a healthy level of it, and then there's a level that's probably like hindering your life and hurting you a little bit with daily things.
Mm-hmm. So, just to clarify, anorexia, for example, is people that are obsessed with the quantity of food, and orthorexia is people who are overly obsessed with the quality of food. So I think to a certain extent, all of us in the industry might be guilty of this slightly. For example, I could never look at a regular Coke the same way again now that like I've been in fitness. I sometimes get a little paranoid. Like I even have Adam try my Diet Coke when I order it at the restaurant just to make sure it's diet, because honestly, I can't even taste the difference. But I have that like slight fear of like, oh my God, wouldn't that suck if that was like a full sugar Coca-Cola and I just like ruined my diet. So, I think to a certain extent, we're all somewhat guilty of this, but orthorexia is taking it to the next level, like anxiety with the quality of your food. Is it organic? Is there any artificial dyes? Is it farm raised? All this stuff, which I think, on the outside looking in, it sounds like, yeah, this person's really eating healthy. But when it becomes an obsession, when it becomes something that like gives you severe anxiety, if you don't have the perfect quality of some sort of food, that's when it becomes an issue. And I see this happen all the time. Like, you know, some people will even shame other people for eating their food. I mean, for example, I'm somewhat in the social media world, so I think I see this happen more than maybe the normal person would. But if I post a recipe or something, people will be like, oh, that's not natural. Oh, that's not organic. Oh, that's full of chemicals. Like, you know, like, I understand people are trying their best to eat healthy, but we can't live in a bubble. And if you're really trying to avoid every toxic, and I'm saying that in quotations, you can't see, I'm doing my little fingers, toxic or chemicals, it's really impossible to avoid chemicals, because you know what? All matter is made of chemicals, okay? And just to clarify too, maybe they mean natural chemicals. Okay, so a natural chemical could be uranium, lead, mercury. Those aren't good for you, right? But an unnatural chemical could be baking powder. And you see what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily, just because something's natural doesn't make it necessarily better for you. But people get a little bit overly paranoid about what they're consuming. And I think that becomes like an issue, because here's my biggest thing. I am a big advocate on making fitness like fun. Okay. I think sometimes in our industry, especially, people look down upon it like that must be so miserable. I would never want to do that. That looks so impossible and hard. And I would never want to try that, because they see people kind of putting out this information or scaring people away, essentially, for things like chewing a small piece of gum, or do you see what I'm saying? I never want people to get that idea that like it's an impossible task to do. But people that are like, you know, maybe orthorexic to some extent might shame these people for, you know, eating what we would consider to be normal foods. And of course we want to eat as healthy as possible, sure. I'm not saying like chew on the Tide Pods or anything like that, but there becomes a point where it becomes a little bit ridiculous. And you know, if we're really trying to think of it like this, is it really even possible to avoid all these toxic substances, especially since we live where we are? We live in a city. I mean, unless you're on a stranded island, you're going to be breathing in some pollution, even beauty products. Like, think of it. Like, people, the same people that are shaming someone for chewing a piece of gum because it's not natural are bleaching their hair. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So I think it's, like, important to get a good grasp on reality and realize no one's perfect, yet we are living quite long compared to 100 years ago or longer. So, you know, I say eat as healthy as you can, but don't take it too far, because mental health is very important as well.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, especially nowadays, it's becoming more of a hot topic.
Yeah.
But I think that's funny, the natural, a natural thing, right? Because it is, it's so, it was funny. One of the funnier interviews, it was Kenny K.O., you know, Kenny K.O., he was going around, I think it was like LA Fit Expo or something like that. And he asked some guy, he always goes like, are you natty or not? It's like one of his things he does, are you natty or not, to like some of these like guys that are like, that are like suspect, that are maybe saying natural. But this guy wasn't saying he was natural. He didn't, he clearly wasn't. He's like, he goes, who's natural? Have you ever had red dye number 40? And it was like a good point. I was like,
yeah,
that's actually like a really strong argument. Like, who is actually natural? Until you're like even when you're born with like chemicals and maybe drugs in your system from the labor itself. So it's kind of funny, like where is your definition? Like, what is the true definition, right? Of like natty or not. I don't know if it, I don't think anyone by that really is, right?
So and just to clarify, we're not suggesting ever take illegal things. We're talking more about food here, but that is a pretty funny point, right? By number 40.
Yeah.
Think about all the things that you're actually consuming that don't come directly from the earth, you know? We're living in a time where that's pretty close to impossible to avoid.
Yeah, unless you're like Amish and living in like a town or something like that, where it's like you eat your own meat that you raise from your your fields that have never been touched, like maybe, but it's pretty tough to do. So
my question is, are the Amish people living longer than us?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? That'd be fun to see like some village or something where it hasn't been touched by, you know, like modern day society, like their lifespan versus ours.
Right.
Because I know back in the day, people were dying way earlier than they are now.
Exactly.
Maybe then preservatives are keeping us living longer. You know, they did say, this is crazy, that this is kind of gross, which doesn't help our argument, right? But they said that people people who are like, who die are actually staying, like their flesh and everything is staying longer than it used to.
Dang, I wonder if that makes us age less.
Isn't that nuts?
That is very nuts. Yeah. I didn't know that, but maybe that also has to do with atmosphere as well. You never know, all these other factors, or the quality of a casket compared to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
there could be so many other factors.
You're really right.
That is very interesting.
That's a weird one. Yeah, I was like, oh, that is weird. That's crazy. So along with this, I think we should talk about like the foods that you can eat and like what really is a concern. Now, I will say, when like prep rolls around, especially like the back end of prep, I like keeping foods really, really clean.
Absolutely.
And the reason really for that isn't because it's superior in most ways. Now, everyone knows, like, if you've listened to me, I'm not a huge believer in like macro dieting, unless the foods are like the same type of prep foods. And the reason is, there's a couple of reasons for it, but one of the main reason that I focus on is that I think about the thermic effect of foods, which is basically, if you have, like, for an example, if you have like orange juice, like the thermic effect of that food, basically the thermic effect is how many calories it takes your body to digest it And then the calories that are left behind is the true calories that you're basically using, right? So if you ate 100 calories of celery is always the example they use because it's almost like a neutral calorie. It still has some calories in it that you'll still use. But 100 calories from celery, you know, you might get like 20 something calories in your body. But 100 calories from whatever, a McDonald's, whatever, you know, you might get the 100, like maybe 98 of those calories. So that's why I'm not a big fan of a macro dieting, because that net calorie is really all that really at the end, like what matters, because that's what you're using, you know, what the used calories matter. So that's why I'm not a big fan of macro dieting, because we're so, like how I do things, we're so precise in terms of like your weekly measurement, your weekly weight. And I want to see like have some type of trackable data I can use to make adjustments to people's plans. Mm-hmm. And if they're eating like macro dieting, I don't know what their net calorie consumption was throughout the day. You're talking huge jumps. And then also you have reported calories have been off on reportings by like up to 20%. Mm-hmm. So on foods that are processed well. So that's why I'm not a huge fan of that. But yes. The main reason that I have people eat clean is that towards the end, we're trying to minimize any like intestinal distress and keep your waistline as small as we can. So we try to keep the volume down, even though the calories are still relatively high, we try to keep the volume down from quality foods. But really that's the only, like, that's like the main reasons, is for tracking reasons and for inflammation and just kind of intestinal distress and whatnot, and keep your waistline small. But the rest of the year, I think that it's perfectly fine to eat quality foods that are a variety of different things. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm eating, like, some of the stuff I'm eating is probably purely chemicals that you saw me eating yesterday.
Well, everything is chemicals.
That's true.
We are made of chemicals. The atmosphere is chemicals, and the earth is literally chemicals. All matter is chemicals. So I'm pretty sure you are consuming all
that. Ashley's all getting Bill Nye's. I love it. So I'm eating this like new cereal. It's like protein-based cereal.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for it. No, I just haven't been able to eat cereal.
Yeah, he's so excited. I see him. He's like, I feel like an 8-year-old again.
I've been like hyper aware of eating, of how I've been eating since I was super, super young, since I was like 12 years old. And so I literally haven't eaten cereal like since then. Like since I was probably, I could never, like how you think about Coke. Like I haven't drank regular Coke since I was like 12, you know. I still been drinking a regular Coke because it's just a waste of calories, you know. But I see people, I'm the same way, when I see people get Coke like at the movie theater or somewhere, I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, it's right there.
I'll
like,
tell you, because it's more natural and they're afraid of artificial sweeteners. I'm sure I'll say that,
probably.
Or maybe
like
they have a refined taste, but I mean that's a whole other subject on itself. It's such a controversy. But here's my thing, like, you know, like I said, we all try to eat as healthy as we can, and I applaud anybody that does, but everything in moderation, okay? We all can't be perfect, and we shouldn't shame other people for, you know, not being perfect. And I think being overly obsessed with, you know, the quality of food, that causes a very unhealthy relationship with food, and can also lead to other eating disorders. Think about it. If you have something and it has maybe a food coloring in or something, and then you start to feel guilty, and then maybe down the line develop bulimia because you want to get rid of it, because it's really hard to keep up a super 100% clean diet all the time. It really is. But I would say, you know, there's a lot of things out here now that makes dieting a lot easier, and I think that's why a lot of competitors, you know, are willing to, you know, maybe consume things that are less natural than maybe usual at certain points in their prep. But I agree with you, Adam. I think it's really a good idea to, especially towards the end, to keep it, like, I guess, as basic as possible when it comes to that thing, because we all have like things that maybe our body doesn't react to as well and might cause the inflammation, just like we did the food sensitivity test too. But there's also different elements that we could possibly not react to as well as other people. So we, you know, something that you can eliminate if you keep it more basic, I guess.
Yeah. And I think some of the things we should probably like talk about with people too, because I think I run into this pretty often. And it's other, like, I'll get someone who's done a show before or done a couple shows before, and they're just so clean. It's like too clean. And it's like, I'm like, you got to chill a little bit. Like, it's okay to season your food.
Yes.
Like the whole, like, Mrs. Dash only era, like that should be done. But I still run into people like that. They're like, oh no, I couldn't have any sodium the whole prep. And I'm like, that'll hurt you more than help you. You know, it's definitely not going to help you at all. It'll hurt you more than anything. And like, so I think it's good. We could talk about like what you, maybe some of your diet and what you do too. I mean, you load up your foods with calorie-free spices. I mean, yeah. But spices are, for the most part, are calorie-free. You're getting the right ones. Mm-hmm. We go to Penzi's Spices, this little spice store down here in Littleton, and we load up. Like Ashley spends like $200 at the store. Just like, but her food tastes really, really good. And then like she'll bring a spice out here. She's like, oh, try this one. This one's a new one. I'm using her jalapeno salt right now. But like that's the extreme that people take it. They won't even like salt and spice their foods. And it's like, that won't hurt you, you know, and that won't hurt you
exactly.
in any way.
I even know of a competitor that called a water company to make sure if there was any trace amounts of sodium in the gallon of water. Like that's when it gets a little ridiculous. And I think that, you know, like I said, mental health is super important as well. And it's so, it is really, it's impossible to avoid every little thing, you know. You can be realistic about things. I honestly think that the reason why I can diet for so long and be able to keep competing is because like I've found ways to season and flavor my food, and it really like mixes it up, because I would really get bored of the same foods over and over. And Adam, isn't it also, there's some research that you can develop food allergies as well by eating the same foods over and over?
Actually they did. There was, if I remember it right, and I'm just remembering off memory now, there was the study was done with, they fed the same group of people, if I remember right, it was a group of basketball team, and they tested them for food sensitivities at the beginning, and I think it was 6 weeks later they tested them again. I want to find this one because it was an older one, and I think this is exactly right. And they tested them, they fed them nothing but chicken those 6 weeks for their protein source. And then at the end of it, all of their sensitivities were higher. Okay. All their sensitivity to chicken was higher at the end of it. So that was the only protein they ate. So it was like, it did show that mixing it up was a little bit better for you and decreasing how sensitive you are to foods. And which is really funny. I find it to be really common too, when we have people eating the same thing over and over again, that they're always the highest sensitive. I remember when you were doing your cashew,
like
cashews.
These are the foods I eat the most.
Yeah.
Thank God I wasn't sensitive to chicken though.
I know.
But it was
cashews. It was it avocado too, or was it?
Cashews, avocado, peanuts, almonds, a lot of the fats.
Yeah.
I feel like the only fat that was okay was like, I swear to okay on was coconut. But there was a lot out there, and mustard. I always flavor my food with mustard.
Stevia and mustard. Kelly was the same thing. So Kelly Smith, she's another bikini pro that I work with. It was actually like the saddest. It was like the saddest food sensitivity test ever. I felt really bad for her. I was like, I'm sorry. I feel like I shouldn't even have tested you. It was so sad because the same day. So like the morning, I saw her stories in the morning. She's like, I got this new flavoring from Penzi's, and it was like this cinnamon coffee blend. Like for her spices to throw in her coffee, like the cinnamon thing for her morning coffee. She's like, coffee won't be the same after this. And literally she got her test like 2 hours later, her results. And it said she was sensitive to coffee and to cinnamon. So her day went from like the best day ever after she tried that to like can't have coffee and cinnamon anymore. So, and it was crazy because after she did her sensitivity test, that was like one of the main things, because she was having it every day for a long time, coffee and cinnamon. And she became sensitive to it. I don't know how much she was having. It might have been a lot. Maybe that's what caused her. I don't know. She might have had 4 or 5 cups a day. Prep people do that all the time, like with energy stuff. They do it. So maybe, I don't know. But it was sad, but it just shows that, you know, if you're eating something and repeating it all the time, that you can be sensitive to it, even if it is super clean. Like, I don't know. She's the only one I know that's like was sensitive to a coffee bean. But what happened with her is we were always dealing with her water retention issues. Like we were always trying to figure out why she kept holding water and then would it, and then hold water and then would it. And there was nothing different about it. And then as soon as she cut that out, she stopped holding water, like on an irregular basis, you know? So, so that tells you too, like if you're eating the same thing over and over again, like maybe it's just chicken and coffee, that maybe that is actually going to make you look worse, you know, because you're having the same thing, developing sensitivities, you're not switching it up. So that's a good argument too for someone who maybe needs a little bit of convincing that it might not be the best thing to do.
Exactly. There's people out there that will have the same thing over and over just because they have that fear of the food, basically, or the quality of their food. They don't want to do steak because maybe it has a little fat in it, so they always do chicken. But this goes, I think, way beyond even just food. It can even be like the preparation of food. Like some people will be afraid to use a microwave even, or afraid to store their food in containers. Or they have to be vegan, or they have to be all natural or organic, BPA free, like the list goes on and on. And
it's pretty extreme. I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, so, and even timing of the food as well. Like I'm sure you,
yeah, the timing,
had
I've seen
people
that
where they literally freak out if they don't eat their food at 12 o'clock on the dot. They have alarms set and everything. Like, it's more of like a mental like anxiety thing. Like, oh my God, I'm 5 minutes late. Oh my God. Like it yeah. really gets that crazy. And I think that's when it gets really unhealthy.
I went through that myself. This is cool. This is a cool topic. So I'm actually learning as we're doing it because this is something new to me and Ashley's kind of more studied on it than I am. And, you know, we're by no means experts in this. We're
just
kind of talking about it.
I discovered this thing one day and I was like, you know something? I think a lot of people from our industry would suffer from this.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like something no one talks about really, but I feel like I see it all the time.
Oh, all the time in our industry, especially the frequency thing too, you know, mm-hmm. If it's not just the cleanness of the food, it's the frequency of the food. And that's one thing, definitely before I like was more researched about frequency and the frequency like research stuff, really I wasn't super aware of it until like probably like maybe 8 years ago or something like that, where I was eating like every 2.5-3 hours and I was like, I had everyone eat every 3 hours because we were all like worried about like we actually would like mix up like what we thought it would cause, like because we everyone knew of the thermic effect of food, which we just talked about, which is basically the calories it takes to digest food within that food. So we kind of just explained that, but everyone would think like also that the thermic effect, basically your body burning calories higher. Mm-hmm. If you ate more often, you'd be burning more calories because you're always burning food, right? It was like kind of like this, no one really thought about it. And everyone, so that's why everyone was eating like every 3 hours and like, oh, you got to stay anabolic and you got to have that, your body burning more calories because you're eating more often and whatever, right? So it was kind of dumb to think about like that. But we just did it. Like, it was like, if it's not for, you know, for sure, it's not going to hurt you if you're eating every 3 hours. Let's just do it. Just even if, because it was like, if it's not going to hurt you to eat every 3 hours, so why not? You know, yeah, if it might be better. So let's just do it. But I used to like pull over on roads. I remember once I was at this dinner and I was with my girlfriend back then and we were at a dinner and it was like an hour late. We called ahead, but they didn't seat us for like an hour, even though we like made a reservation. And I was like losing it because I was missing my meal by an hour and it was gonna be another 30 minutes before my food came. So I was like, I'm an hour and a half behind. I gotta get something. So like, I'm like, I just gotta eat something. So I like went to the bar and like got like an appetizer. Like it was crazy. Like it was like, it's just, and it ruins the mood cause I'm like anxious, you know? And it's just, people go through that and still go through that. You know, I still see people going, the frequency thing I think I see the most where people freak out or like they'll plan to, this is one that's like, really crazy because it affects relationships too, you know?
Yeah.
And like people will leave their food at their house because they think they're gonna be back from the gym in 2 hours, whatever. And like maybe you're with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're like, oh, let's go to the store or something first. And you like maybe you go to the mall or whatever and you're there for 2 hours and you're supposed to eat like every 3 hours. And they just like, you leave the mall, you're like, I gotta go eat. Like that absolutely 100% will not benefit you to eat within like 2 hours to 4 hours, it's not going to make a difference. There's no difference in how it affects your physique. And that's like, that's researched. So, I would say, you know, just, I would say on those things, like if you need to like find research that shows that you can like look at to make you at ease. But, like on my meal plans for people, I let them pick how many times a day they want to eat. So they can eat 2 times plus like a post-workout, as like their minimum, and they can eat 6 times plus that if they want. If they want to be crazy about it and eat every a certain times, they can. It's just really up to you. So I even have like nurses and people who work in like the hospital industry, I guess you'd say, where they work like those 12 hours, like 3-12s or whatever it is that they work, those 3-12s where they don't like have the breaks. On those days, they eat basically 2 meals a day and maybe a snack if they can during the break, during like a quick break. But they do just the same, they get the same results throughout the week when they're eating 5 times when they do as their nurse is eating 2 times, you know? So I would definitely say, just look at that. It's not going to affect your results. You're not going to lose your gains if you're, you know, not eating every 2 to 3 hours, and it's going to affect people. When it's affecting people around you, that's when it's really an issue too. And obviously when it's giving you anxiety, cause you're worried that you're not going to get home because you got stuck in traffic in a car accident or something, you know? So.
Yes. And I just also wanted to briefly point out too, is like, if you're listening to this and, you know, we did mention that these are kind of indicators of orthorexia. It doesn't mean you have an eating disorder. It doesn't mean you have it. I think it's something just to be aware of in your mind. Like, you know, I keep this weight and I maybe this isn't the healthiest mindset to have. So by no means we're like diagnosing this. We're just saying, you know something, be aware, because this maybe could lead to something more severe. I think it's also important to point out too, is like, you know, the with orthorexia and this fear of quality of food or certain types of food, it really limits your diet and really limits the intake of your food. And especially people who really believe in everything to be raw, it's really could be setting yourself up for severe deficiencies in vitamins and nutrients as well, because you're not getting that variety of food, or perhaps you're not getting even enough of food, because if everything is raw, it's kind of hard to consume your daily intake of vitamins and minerals, because it takes up much more room in your stomach. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you need more volume to reach that. I mean, honestly, like, pretty much everyone should be doing a supplement of like vitamins and minerals. It's so hard to like get those in from food, especially our foods now. Like, if you looked at our foods like 100 years ago versus them now, and their breakdowns of nutrients in within the food, it would be sufficiently higher way back then, because the foods have just been, I mean, the food, the soil has just been stripped of all its nutrients
that's a very interesting point, because I didn't even really know that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it, but it makes so much sense.
The dirt.
There's less vitamins and such.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's just like, that's how the food gets its stuff, its minerals and stuff. And when you're over cropping or whatever it's called over, but it gets, and also the bad things, there's more in the foods, because that stays in the soil, you know? So,
yeah.
Like if you look at like one of the examples, like CLA, like our foods have like no CLA in it now. They used to have a tons of CLA in it. And it's like, you know, so, that's one of the things that's like a lot of people have to supplement now because of it. So
even if they're eating raw, basically, they're not going to get that same amount of nutrients and vitamins as they would have probably 100 years ago.
Yeah, and even back then, you'd have to eat so much food to get it all in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy how much you'd need. Like, for example, people think, oh, I'll have a banana, it has my potassium. To get your daily amount of potassium, you need to eat 11 bananas from bananas. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. That's like, who's going to do that? That's just potassium. You know, it probably has some other things in it that'll fulfill that day too. But then what about your iron, and what about your this? It's like, you're talking some calories, man. Like,
I was iron deficient too. So
yeah.
I mean, that was the year I was off. So I was like, I'm eating fine because I'm eating a lot of food, but apparently I was iron deficient, which is very interesting.
Yeah. So I think everyone should be taking a good multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I forget what the calories needed to get your nutrients in, but it was like, it was a ton of food. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, a healthy, you know, a multivitamin would be good for you. You know, some of the other things would be good for you too. Like, take a look at it, ask your, you know, coach and trainer or whatever. But, I usually have people doing a multivitamin, CLA, some type of, healthy fish oil, you know, that type of thing to get their, you know, get their fats in, their like quality fats in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's, you know, I think everyone should be supplementing.
Yes. I wanted to go over this as well, because I'm hearing this term all the time, processed foods. I need to stay away from processed foods. So I just want to give you the definition according to the United States Department of Agriculture. The definition of processed food is, processed food is defined as any raw agricultural commodity that has been subject to washing, cleaning, milling, cutting, chopping, heating, pasteurizing, blanching, cooking, canning, freezing, drying, dehydrating, mixing, packaging, or any procedures that alter the food from its natural state.
That's everything.
You go to a restaurant, it's going to be processed food in some way, shape, or form. And although I kind of understand what people mean by processing, but the actual term of processing your food isn't what you think it is. It's really hard to avoid, I would say. It's any food that's altered in any way, shape, or form. That can also include the addition of other ingredients to food, such as preservatives, flavors, nutrients, and other food additives, substances approved for use in food products such as salt, sugars, and fats. So by definition, most times we engage in food preparation and cook, we are in fact processing foods. So, you know, just keep that in mind, because I feel like that term is just way overused for everything. And it's not what you think it actually is.
Yeah. And I think whenever this comes down to like Ashley's point, it's like the main points of this is, I'm huge with longevity in this, because mm-hmm. I call, there's two different types of people that are in this sport. And I call them, there's people who vacation fitness, right? And they're like, they go and they visit it and they enjoy it and they vacation it. You know, it's like going to the beach and having a nice trip and they have a nice body for a little while and they call them fitness vacationers, right? Those are the people that you see who prep, you know, maybe one time, maybe three times, whatever. It could even be more, but they don't live, like they don't live fit. They vacation fit, right? And so basically it takes them the having a motivation of like doing a show is the only time they're gonna stick to a meal plan. And those people, a lot of times they're like super, super strict on their meal plan. And then as soon as the show's done, you see them 25 pounds up again, 30 mm-hmm. pounds up, you know? And those, you know, they're not living fit because they haven't learned how to live fit. They've only learned how to prep. It's totally different, living fit and prep. And I think that it's important that we have a balance between the two and we're learning to live fit versus just being a vacationer who takes a trip once a year and they're fit for 12 weeks out of the year, you know, and they're doing whatever they have to do that 12 weeks because those are the people that won't last. They burn out. You know, it's impossible if you're just trying to have to lose 20 pounds every single time you're doing a show to maintain that over a course of years. And eventually what happens is you gain that 20 pounds back and then you don't do a show and the next year you're up to 30 pounds because you haven't learned anything. And so I think that it's important to take this time that you're doing prep and to not just use that motivation to get in great shape by eating only the cleanest foods in the world, but to learn this as a longevity thing. And I still say, and I still stand by it, that I think that everyone after they do a show should be somewhere between 6 and 8% above their stage weight after the show, which is not a lot of weight. But you got to remember the way that we're prepping isn't crushing people either. You know, we're not doing things that are not sustainable. And that's one of the things I'm huge on is, and it's a fact, if you can't sustain the effort it took, sustain the way you got to get to those results. So if you can't sustain what you did to get the results, you cannot sustain the results. So you have to find a balance of, can I do this forever? Am I able to do this? So for example, if you're doing, you know, hours of cardio a day and you can't do that after a show, well, of course you're not going to maintain those results because you can't maintain doing hours of cardio after the show. If you're eating so low of calories that you can't even keep your head up at work, well, of course you can't maintain that because you can't live your life like that. So it's about finding like, how do I get this off of me? And it doesn't need to be a crazy diet to do it. It doesn't need to be so, so crazy clean that you only eat chicken to do that. So I'm all about the longevity and like taking this time of your extreme motivation to learn that. Cause like what better time to do it than when you're going to adhere, yes. You know, to that diet.
This is exactly how other eating disorders get started. Just exactly how you stated it, you know, such an unrealistic, restrictive diet. You might be able to prep with that, you know, but then again, you can't do all that in the off season. You might rebound very badly. And then it becomes this, oh, now I've gained all this weight. Now I got to lose it fast. Yeah. So what do people do when they want to lose it fast?
They crash. Yeah.
They crash, or they might find an unhealthy alternative such as anorexia or bulimia. And it's just a vicious cycle. And it's like, I feel like orthorexia is just the start of many other things that could possibly be an issue. It's just that whole cycle of, you know, not being able to maintain, gaining the weight, and then wanting to lose it quickly. And just a big circle that starts all over again. When in the beginning, if you were just more realistic with your prep diet to begin with, you might be able to maintain that a lot better and you wouldn't cause all these issues down the road.
Yeah. And what people don't understand too is that everyone has like a certain amount of preps in them, right? Like we don't know what that number is, but every prep, you know, you're going to, like, if you're going really, really hard, if you're going hard now, every prep, you're going to have some type of effect on you, like metabolically long-term. I mean, it might be just a few calories where like you just don't recover 100% back to where you were. It might be a little bit. And if you could look at studies that kind of prove this, if you look at the Biggest Loser study, that was an amazing study because it showed that people even 6 years later still haven't recovered metabolically, even though they gained all their weight back and were eating higher calories. And that just shows like from an extremely restricted, extremely aggressive diet that they just didn't recover, and metabolically they're going to be like that for who knows how long. But out of that study, almost everyone besides one person in that study, and it was like 13, if I remember, people gained all their weight back except for the one, and all of them still had an affected metabolic rate that was lower than when they started. So that just shows like, yeah, I'm reversing, I'll get it back up. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get back up. So let's say you did that Biggest Loser thing, and the Biggest Loser thing, they were eating like 1200 calories, but they were really big people and doing hours of cardio a day, which sounds very familiar to prep if you think about those numbers. And then they only did it for, I think it was 3 months at a time, maybe four. So you got to remember, we're doing it 3 to 4 months at a time all the time, like maybe 2 times a year, 3 times a year, you know, constantly prepping like that style. So yeah, you do that for 5, 6 years. And, you know, if one study showed just in 1 year, they did it and they were affected 6 years later, how long is it going to take for you to rebound and gain weight with a progressively slower metabolic rate? And then how is that going to affect you the rest of your life in terms of how hard it's going to be? So every prep is going to get harder because you're doing it that way. Every prep is going to be just feel like more and more like on your mind. And then after that, keeping it off is going to be even harder and harder. So, the reason I mention this is because the people that are having maybe this are so hyper aware of every calorie they consume too, that it might be working out negatively for them. So it's just good to like mention those things,
yes.
Not to like scare you, just to say, hey, like be aware that in the future, these things matter, you know, like you're going to have to play with them eventually. And a lot of times when you see pros, like stopping, like ending their career, it's not for really a lot of times the reasons is that their body's not responding the way it used to be. And so now it's so much harder to prep. They just don't have it in them anymore. And if it, you know, what we're trying to do is if we stay in shape for like after a show and we're just staying in shape, it should just be a little bit of weight you have to lose. It's just like, you know, like losing 8 pounds, 10 pounds for a show is not hard to do if you're doing it the right way and that's all you have to lose. But if you're losing 20, 25 each time, then yeah, it's going to be a problem. So I guess I'm going in a different direction, yeah. But yeah.
You know something, Adam, I really liked what you said yesterday because you were asked, what are your thoughts on, you know, little treats such as Diet Coke or little sweeteners or gum? In the beginning of prep. And then I loved your answer. And if you want to go ahead and,
I don't remember it.
Miss Stacy, asked you, what's your thoughts on sweeteners and like different diet, products? And you said something along the lines of, well, you know, if you take everything from everyone, it's a really hard to maintain and they need a little something at least to make your diet, I guess, more normal and more fun.
Yeah, exactly. If it's so hard to do, like it's just impossible to maintain, you know? And I think especially today, like I think if I was prepping people back in, you know, 1930, 1940, I think that would be the only option, right? Because there wasn't, I mean, and you gotta like, that's funny. It's like some of these things come from back then. And actually, I'm going to expose one of the, this is really cool. So I'm going to expose one of the myths in bodybuilding, right? Okay. So like people will say, you know, don't do milk in bodybuilding, right? There's no reason why you can't have milk in bodybuilding, right? But like, they're like in prep, you just can't have it. Like, I think towards the end, yeah, we get rid of lactose and things like that. But like in the beginning, that's no problem. You know, I have people eating Greek yogurt and stuff all the time. And the reason that people think you can't have dairy, like in prep, is simply because of back in the day, there wasn't skim milk. And so like, you know, back when like if you look at like some of the old stuff with like Arnold and stuff, you know, he would say, yeah, I drink milk to get big. Well, he didn't have whey protein. So that was a great source of calories because it had fats in it. And it also had a lot of protein in it for someone who didn't have powdered protein available like we do today. So what happened was when guys were cutting like Arnold back in the day, they would be like, oh, I don't drink milk when I'm cutting because, you know, it makes you fat, right? Cause they don't know. It's just calories for them. It's like that was like their weight gainer shake back then, but they didn't have skim milk back then. No one cared. Right. So it was just milk. It just came from a cow. You drank it. So, but now there's skim milk, right? So now you can have low calorie milk. So people think, oh, you can have dairy during prep. Well, you got to remember some of these things have been passed down and not thought out for 50 years, you know? So that's one of the things, you know, yeah, you can have dairy during prep. It's not going to make you fat. You know, we have people having Greek yogurt and even some people having milk like all the way until their last couple of weeks before a show.
Yeah, so, there's so many of those myths out there. Like I've even heard even from one of the top bodybuilders, they only eat fish because it thins your skin.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, where do you get this at?
Yeah.
But it's like you hear something from somebody that's very high level and you think that that's what you got to do. And that's not necessarily the case. What is your thoughts on like, you see, I'm sure a lot of athletes come to you with a diet plan. Maybe they had from a previous coach with a crazy diet, like fish, asparagus.
Oh yeah.
All the time. Like how do you even react to that? I feel like that is such a common thing still, but it's still like that old school way of bodybuilding.
It's hard to like deal with in terms of, you know, you can explain this stuff so much, but getting someone to buy into you, like, right. Even with like, you know, I've done this for so long and you can like, look at all the people I prep and like even having that type of like backing to saying, hey, this is how all these people have prepped. Some of them still can't get past that barrier. you know, and I have pros that'll do it. Pros, some pros will start with me and I'll be like, no, this is your prep. And they're like, I can't, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm like, no, this is, it's working. Like, do you see your results? Like, just trust it for a little while. Even if they see the results, sometimes they're just like, it's not enough. Like, oh, I just started doing 2-day cardios because I'm like, why? It was working fine. And then all of a sudden you adapted and now we have to do this much cardio. Like, it shouldn't take this, you know? And so, but I think that's the hard part, is like getting people to believe it that have been doing it for so long. Like, you know, I talked about that elephant pulling the stick thing, right? Like, that you got to be willing to like know that there is a better way. It will work. At the end of the day, when we're trying to lean out and lose body fat, it's a very simple thing. You know, you're just eating a little bit less and you're moving a little bit more. It really is that simple. It's just create some type of deficit either through exercise or consumption and you'll lose body fat. It doesn't like, and that's the thing, is these prep coaches and these athletes, like, we take the fittest people on the earth, the fittest 0.005% in the world. And then we put them on diets that we're putting them on diets for people who are trying to like save their lives because they're the fattest 0.005% in the world. But it's completely the opposite. It doesn't make any sense. You know, all we're trying to do is lose a little body fat. So create just even any diet for most of these people will get them lean enough, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, towards the end, you got to get rid of any water retentions and get their waistlines as small as possible. So, yeah, you have those things that are kind of bro, you know, but until that point, until you have to worry about that stuff, it's just reducing calories a little bit. You know, we're talking, if you reduce your calories in some capacity by 500 a day, you'll lose 1 pound a week, 1 pound of fat a week. And so for most people, if you're being smart in the off season and you're only 8 to 10 pounds, well, that's an 8 to 10 week prep, right? And then we get rid of your water retention and inflammation and all these things by cleaning it up towards the last couple of weeks. And that's it. You know, it doesn't take, like, why would it take someone 2 hours of cardio and 800 calories a day if they only had to lose 10 pounds?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
I think a lot of people even are shocked to hear that, like, I've never eaten any seafood, no fish, nothing during any of my preps. This is disgusting. And people, like, their mind is blown. They're like, what? Yeah. How? What do you eat that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, gosh, I probably, if I literally had to eat fish, you know, for my prep, I wouldn't be competing anymore. Like, if that's really how it was, because I can't, like, I would throw up. It's disgusting to me. But it's just, like, so many myths out there, and I feel like it's so awesome that we're kind of, especially you, you're a big advocate for debunking these myths, and I think a lot of people, just their minds are blown when they come to you with this diet, like, wait a minute, what? You know? So I think that's an awesome thing that you're doing, and just really cutting through the crap, because there's still so much crap out there.
Yeah, I just feel bad for people that have to go through it, you know?
Yeah.
I get so many of those that are like, they just don't believe anything else will work, you know?
Yeah.
And those are usually the people that are rebounded a couple times and they're sick of it. And they're just like, I just need to figure this out, you know, and just get it done for life. But the whole like skin, like thinning out with fish and whatnot, I don't know who started that.
Yeah.
Or where they got that from. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason that people think that it thins your skin out is because like, if you eat tilapia, there's like no fat in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they just lose body fat towards the end. Like when you lose body fat towards
mm-hmm.
the end, like when you're like, let's say if you're a female and you're 15, so let's say you're 16% and your stage leanness is about 14%. So you women out there who are being told you're 6%, you're not, like, it's just not the way it is. The leanest I've ever seen any female get was about 9.6%. That was Women's Physique, Arnold Classic, like full on, like pro, top level pro. You know, it's just, and you'll see bikini girls, oh, I'm 6%. I'm like, no, you're just not. It's just not how it works. Nothing wrong with being higher. It's just that we're just off on body fat. So if you're 16% and you're a female, you're pretty shredded. You're pretty lean.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Like
14,
high 14.
Yeah. Yeah. We got once to like 13,
yeah,
seven.
That was way too late
yeah.
that time.
But. We were like, okay, we can't. Yeah. We're just like, I told her to like, eat before the show. She doesn't like to eat that much the days before the show. And I was like, you got to eat. So if you're at like 16% and you get down to 15% and then 14%, it looks dramatically different. Like every 1% you drop when you're low looks so much different than if you were to go from like 25 to 24. Like 16 to 15 looks crazy, and 25 to 24 doesn't look like anything. So when you have people like start doing that fish thing, like just fish, like the last, like let's say 8 weeks, I think it thins your skin out
mm-hmm.
because they're just leaning out more and they're closer to that lower body fat, but it doesn't thin your skin out. There's not, I don't, Amanda, don't quote me on this, but I don't think that that would be good. Like if there was a food that would just thin your skin out, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like what would happen if your skin like just started thinning out?
I think it's
out,
more, like, more appealing for a bodybuilder perhaps that is trying to get vascular.
Yeah, but I don't know. So I guess we'd have to research that. I have never researched how to like thin someone's skin. I don't know if it's a thing.
Maybe dehydration, but not.
I don't know.
Not because of fish.
I mean, would you're like, what if you're like thinned it out so much your like eyebrows were like hanging into your eye because there's just this like thin skin.
You're
like
your ears are drooping.
Yeah, you have to like pin your eyebrows up on your head. And you're like, oh, he must have been eating fish for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what about all the, like, Asian people who, like, literally just ate fish for their whole lives? Like, how come their skin isn't falling off their body, right?
Yeah.
It's so thin. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because there is, like, they had, like, people that were, like, I guess indigenous to areas where they, like, it was, like, towns only or villages, and their only source of meat was fish.
Yeah.
So their whole life they only ate fish. I've seen videos and pictures of these people, and they're not, like their skin isn't falling. Like it doesn't make any sense. I don't know where this stuff comes from, you know? So some bodybuilder someday said it and then it's carried on to another bodybuilder someday. And then all of a sudden it thins your skin out. But now I will say that it's an easy to digest food. So if we're talking about like, you know, maybe digestibility of foods, yeah, that's great. You know, any meat that breaks up easily in your system is going to be easier on the system, but I don't think
maybe
it has anything to do.
Maybe an alternative would be, shredded chicken or something.
Yeah,
too.
I tell people
like crock pot your chicken and shred it.
I tell people like at the end, just do like, you know, grounded meats and just make it easy on your system. Try to stay away from red meat. I don't have anyone do red meats at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are tougher to digest.
Yeah, it's tough to digest. Anything that's like easy to digest, we're just trying to keep the waistline small. And it's whether that works or not, you know, we're probably never gonna know. Honestly, it probably doesn't work. Honestly, it probably doesn't. Like so, but I just know towards the end, we just keep it so clean just in case because it's like all
safe
these
food.
Yeah, it's all these little things. It's like If it takes like, your prep's been 16 weeks, if for 1 week we go on this like super pure diet where it's like, we're just avoiding things, it's not going to hurt you. If anything, it's probably good for you to do it. So it's like, you know, just do it. Who cares? And that's what I say. Cause if it's, let's say we eliminate five things that are causing 1% difference in your physique. Like Ashley didn't know cashews were causing her water retention and what, like, what if we just get rid of five of those things or even three of those things? Well, maybe that's 3% better than you would have been or 5% better than you would have been. And that's really like how we do it, but it doesn't require years of just eating this certain way to do that. You know, like a lot of these athletes, even especially at the top level, which is funny because I think a lot of people who have like that orthorexia will look at like admire physiques like yours and girls who are at the top level. And all these girls who are at the top level, like you should see them in the off season. They stay lean, they're smart about it, but they eat literally like for the most part, whatever they want. I mean, never like, you know, they don't go out and be like little piggies and like eat at buffets, like whatever you want. But we're talking, if you'll see these top bikini pros and especially top bodybuilding pros are the worst. The guys, they eat like a full cake, you know, but then you have like people who are like orthorexic. I want to look like that, but yet I would never touch that. Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. But you know, you'll go out to dinner with sometimes like these competitors at these, like even at pro shows, and they'll eat whatever they want, you know, and they'll eat whatever they want throughout the year in the off season. And they just keep a balance and keep an eye on their body fat.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah. So I think that's another thing to point out to people who maybe are so hyper aware that even the people you're admiring are doing that and, you know, and they look the way you want to look.
Yeah.
So like, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
So
there's just so much misinformation out there. And like I said, the one pet peeve I have is when people shame people for, I guess, normal foods when in reality, they're still quite healthy in comparison to everyone else. You know, we try to diet and eat as well as we can, but at the same time, if you think you're going to maintain a diet with the same four foods for 2 years, I would say you might run into some other issues along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, mental health is very important as well. And, you know, I just hope, like, you guys realize that what you see, like the ultimate physique in your opinion, they're probably not eating like you think they are. Not everything's like raw. Everyone's human, okay? So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think with that, we're probably pretty, pretty good covered, summed it up.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I think this was a great podcast today. And also like, if you find yourself, you know, thinking very negatively about food. Like I said, we're not diagnosing anything here. We're not doctors. Well, you're close to it, no. I'm sure. but for real though, we're just kind of pointing out something that we thought about the other day and feel like a lot of people need to hear about orthorexia and other food related issues.
Yeah, I think in the end of this, like, I think both of us are on the same page. And honestly, it's one of the reasons we line up so well, is that we both want fitness to be fun, you know? And I think that's so lost today, like, especially in social media, you know, you don't see the fun that much. You know, you see the hardcore. And it's almost like this, like, badge of honor people wear, where it's like this false badge of honor, like, today I crushed it, did 2 hours of cardio, they ate nothing but fish. And it's like, they're trying to like prove something to the world that they're hardcore when they could get the same results doing it many other ways, you know?
Yes,
and it's
you
like,
you gotta realize the example you're setting, somebody from the outside looking in, wanting to compete one day or wanting to even get in more shape. They think, wow, that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So we never want to be a bad example.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny. I used to teach classes with new trainers that would be coming on boarding to like 24 Hour Fitness. And I would always ask them like nutritional questions, and I would line up two different people. And one of them would say, one side would say, okay, this person's 300 pounds and needs to lose 150 pounds or whatever, like to female. And this person's contest prep needs to lose 15 pounds for a show. What do their diets look like? And then when you'd see like this, someone who was like dangerously unhealthy, and then the trainers would say, oh, that person just needs to move a little bit more, maybe have them drink Diet Coke instead of regular Coke, and have them like cut chips for a week, and these little simple things. But then the contest prep person who only needs to lose 15, they would give them this hardcore diet, fish only, asparagus only, cardio fasted, all these things. And I was like, do you guys see the problem in this? The person whose life is at risk, you're giving the easiest route, and the person who just needs to lose a little bit of weight, you're giving the same diet you should give to someone whose life is at risk. It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's not logical. Like, just have this person like start moving a little bit more and eating a tiny bit less, and they're going to get great results without you crashing them. So anyway, that being said, I just want to keep this like fun for everyone. And like, you have these like hardcore guys out there that are like, hardcore is the only way, do whatever it takes. Like, yeah, you do whatever it takes, but it doesn't mean whatever it takes is killing yourself, you know? And so, so with that, you know, I want you guys to chew on that for a bit. You know,
chew on some of that sugar-free gum.
Chew on sugar, that sugar-free gum as I drink my Diet Coke. And and I wish you guys a happy day. And we will talk to you guys next Thursday. Thanks so much for listening.